This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Jamie Weinstein. He's the deputy editor at the Daily Caller, which can be found at dailycaller.com. That's an online blog that has exposed a major journalistic conspiracy, in the words of some, but certainly an organized effort to minimize the damage back in 2008 that the Jeremiah Wright story was doing to Barack Obama, and other evidence suggests they were doing everything possible to make sure Obama won the election. So what does this tell us about journalism moving here ahead in the 21st century? And Jamie, it's always great to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
But first of all, how'd you guys discover this?
Well, this is being kept pretty close to the vest between Tucker Carlson, who runs the site, and the journalist who exposed it, Jonathan Strong. So to be honest with you, I myself only see the stories a few hours before they go up, and I'm not sure I can add any insight to how exactly we got this. This is being kind of kept pretty close to the vest here.
What do we know about how this group got together? How did it start? It sounds like it came from Ezra Klein of the Washington Post. Is that accurate?
Yes, it did. Ezra Klein of the Washington Post founded it. He was not at the Washington Post yet at that time, and it grew to about 400 members from the journalistic community, from think tanks, from party activists, and whatnot, who would be on this listserv.
And what does it say about what they were specifically trying to do? Is most of the smoke and fire here about the Jeremiah Wright story, or is there a whole concerted effort throughout the campaign to do whatever they can to help Obama?
Well, we've run several stories on different topics, actually, and even without blowing it up to anything greater than it is, you see that there are people on the listserv themselves who think that see themselves as part of what quote unquote the non-official campaign. In the article we published today, which discusses the reaction on the listserv after McCain chose Palin, one of the participants was Daniel Levy, who's a Middle East expert and is at some think tank. He writes, and I quote, "This seems to me like an occasion when the non-official campaign has a big role to play in defining Palin, which, I mean, that seems to me that he thinks who he's talking to is the non-official campaign, which includes many journalists. He goes on to write, quote, "I think people should be replicating some of the not-so-pleasant viral email campaigns that were used against Obama," saying that he wants, you know, people on this listserv to promote some of these kind of scurrilous email campaigns as part of the non-official campaign.
And it was basically this group, from what we're hearing through mainly through your reports there at the Daily Caller, is that they basically went into attack mode on Sarah Palin right away. They thought that the fact that she had a baby, that she knew would have Down syndrome, was a huge compelling part of her narrative, and they needed to go after her. What did they strategize doing?
Well, they had several strategies. One was how to discuss her Down syndrome baby, if that was in play or not. They also came up with the idea of saying this was sexist and GOP tokenism, and one participant encouraged everyone on the listserv, whether they followed it or not, to echo this message in all their venues, that this is sexism and tokenism. At the end of the listserv, Joe Klein, who, you know, is not from a left-wing publication, or at least not from a publication that says they're left-wing, Time Magazine, he writes at the end, after all this back and forth comes into play, "Here's my attempt to incorporate the accumulated wisdom of this august listserv community," and links to an article he wrote. So, I mean, at least he's looking at this and incorporating it and using what they're saying there to shape at least that article.
Whether the discussions about Sarah Palin or Jeremiah Wright, are there substantive issue discussions within this group, or is it just we need to take care of this kind of a thing?
You know, I as I said, I haven't seen the whole listserv myself. I'm sure there was some discussions and substantive discussions on different things. But one thing that has struck me from everything that the Daily Caller we have put up is also the meanness there. It's not just what they might have been coordinating, but there's a meanness there. I don't know if you saw the quote on Rush Limbaugh that a NPR affiliate producer put up there. In one of our stories, she was discussing how if she saw Rush Limbaugh having a heart attack and writhing in pain on the ground and dying, she would, quote, "laugh loudly like a maniac and watch his eyes bug out." She has apologized since our reporting on this has come out. But, you know, that's just mean. I mean, I can't imagine ever wishing that even on my worst ideological enemy.
In terms of what this means for journalism, your impression of how this is impacted by journalistic standards. What is the expected role of a journalist? What is their expected ethical behavior, whether it's in terms of just having this sort of alliance in the first place, or the how they go about discussing some of these critical political issues?
Look, people can come to their mind about what this listserv was. I personally think a listserv is not necessarily by itself a bad thing. But what they're doing here seems like they're coordinating talking points. And in some instances, it looks like they're hacking for the Obama campaign. As I said, one of the participants who wasn't a journalist, he was a think tanker, seemed to think that this list was the non-official campaign of Barack Obama. He said as much. Just assumed that was the case. I think that even if you're an opinion journalist, you know, there is some intellectual honesty. You're supposed to come up with your own ideas and talking points. You know, there seem like they're kind of coordinating to some degree, at least.
Jamie, most surveys of political reporters tend to show in relatively large numbers that they do lean to the left, and those who follow politics closely pretty much understand that. So given that backdrop, how surprised should folks be by what we're learning by what you're reporting?
You know, I don't think it's a shocker, as you said, that, you know, most of the, you know, what you'd call the mainstream media leans to the left. This is not a new story. They've been written books on this. Bernard Goldberg wrote his famous book, Bias, on this. But, I mean, I think this adds a lot to it. It's interesting how, you know, these think tanks and left-wing journalists and some mainstream journalists were coordinating kind of messaging, at least to some degree. And it's, I mean, you know, each reader can come to their own determination of exactly what the quotes mean and how much they think it shaped coverage. But, I mean, it seems to me that there was at least some people trying to coordinate messaging for the Obama campaign.
And it certainly may surprise a lot of people who have a different understanding of what the role of a journalist is, particularly in the midst of a presidential campaign. Jamie, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
Jamie Weinstein is deputy editor at the Daily Caller. Learn more about this story and many others at dailycaller.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.